And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I actually was going to have a guest with me today. We were going to share information about how my guest is just knocking it out of the park. She is doing an excellent job with her real estate investing. But she had a little problem last night. Apparently, her son, who's a great young kid, he got sick. And he brought it home, and, well, she contracted. It's not COVID, but it's something that, well, it's not making her feel really good right now. So we decided that what we would do is we would reschedule. So why am I telling you all of this? Well, I'm telling you this because I have to change gears on you. I have to give you different information than what you were expecting today. Because after all, it's Tuesday, and it's Tell Al Tuesday, right? Okay, no guest today, not a problem. I have a substitute. I actually have a substitute. There's a gentleman by the name of Jay Parsons. He's a younger guy, but he's an economist. And I've been following his work. And this guy, he's in the Gets It Club. He is in the Gets It Club. I find that the information that this gentleman presents is well thought through. It is organized. And he gives you information about statistical stuff that's relevant. Let me just share with you something that Jay shared with me, because I think it's gonna clear up some of the fog out there. Yeah, there's fog out there. You want to know what the fog is? All right, the fog is this. Rents are going up. We know that. We can see it happening. I have a statistical graph sitting right in front of me that tells me rents are going up. Now, the big concern out there, the fog that's out there, is how are all of these people that are renting, how are they going to keep up? If the rents are going up, how can they afford the increase in rents? Yeah, because this is what everybody's talking about, right? Everybody's talking about inflation. It doesn't matter how it started. I'm not going to bring that up, and I don't care how it started. All that matters is that it started, and you and I, we have to react to it. Now, we're getting hammered at the gas pump in the grocery store, right? Okay, I think that's where we're seeing a lot of our expenses. We are seeing some increase in costs for materials for our renovations that we do with our apartments and our single family homes. Yeah, that's just what the economy is doing. But it's being offset by the fact that rents are going up and we're able to charge more rents. Now, what about the consumer? The consumer that I rent my properties to. What are their rents doing? What is their income doing? All right, let's break it all down. First of all, when a resident signs a lease, it's usually a one-year lease. That's normally what I offer. I very rarely offer a six-month lease. The reason I don't do it is because it causes me to potentially do what's called a turn. In other words, I have to allow the resident that's there, if they decide not to extend, to leave the property. And then I have to go in and make sure that property is to the standard that I create. And that could take a little bit of time. Maybe there's some interior painting that needs to be done. Maybe there's a minor repair that needs to be done. Who knows? It might take a day or two to get that unit back on track. But I can't lease it until that unit is to my standard. Does that make sense? Okay, so I would lose a little bit of time, which essentially becomes rental income. So I don't mess around with 6 months lease. And if I do offer one, and I've done it occasionally, I usually charge a premium for that shorter lease period. Because what I'm doing is I'm offsetting the cost of having to do an additional turn. A one-year lease is really the way to go. because what it does for me, it gives me a stability of income. I've entered into an agreement with my customer, my renter, and their rent stays stabilized for the entire year. Yeah, so let's put it this way. I have a house that I rented out, and I charged $1,325 for the rent. I did. Now, the resident is going to pay $1,325 for the entire year. Over the year, costs are going to go up. Prices are going to go up. We know this. I am looking at a RealPage graphic that is telling me, RealPage is the information provider, by the way, that this graphic is telling me that in-place rents are moving upward. In-place rents. In other words, those are rents that actually exist. In other words, there's a lease in place, that the resident is protected by the lease against rent increases. I'm protected by the lease because I have a stability of income. I can go for the entire year and my business will operate fine. It will operate fine. When I get to the end of the year, I have to make a decision. And I actually have to make this decision before I get to the end of the year. I have to comply with the language that's in my lease that says if I'm going to recommend an increase in rent, I have to give my resident a period of time as disclosed in my lease. Normally, I usually do about 45 days. That's usually what I have in my lease. And what I find is that gives the resident enough time to make a decision as to whether or not they want to absorb the increase in rent or they want to go find another place to live. Most of my residents, they usually take the increase in rent. All right, the gentleman that I'm showcasing today, his name is Jay Parsons. He's an economist. If you want to find Jay Parsons, I'll give him a shameless plug. Let's just do it. He's on LinkedIn. So if you're on LinkedIn, look for Jay Parsons and look for the Rental Housing Economist. Yeah, that should give you enough information to dial into this guy. And what you're going to find is that this young man, he's a young man. I'm an old man. It's relevant. This young man is in the Getsy Club. He figures out information that you and I can use, and then he gives it to us so that we can use it. So let me just give you a piece of information he gave me because I think it's relevant and it dials in with what we're talking about today. Jay makes this point. He said, since January of 2020, now let's remember what was going on January 2020. Okay, I'm not talking about all that stuff that's on TV. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a roaring economy, and I'm talking about a change in the executive administration, as well as some congressional seats and some Senate seats and things like that. Okay, so the country was going through a transition, but the economy was going great, right? It was going great. And then what happened? Well, pandemic. Pandemic happened, right? Yeah, pandemic, not good. Not good for business, not good for the economy, not good for our residents. It's not good for anybody. Okay, but we have to deal with it, don't we? We have to deal with it. We can't change it. It's like I keep telling you about the investments that you make in the stock market. You can't change anything about what goes on with those investments because you don't have any control over any of it, which is completely different than the type of investing that I do. I actually have a lot of control over my assets. I have maximum control over my assets. I make decisions based on what I'm trying to accomplish. I know you make decisions based on what you're trying to accomplish, but you don't choose what companies you buy in that retirement account that you have. I'm serious. Okay, you might tell them what kind of companies, but at the end of the day, you probably don't even know if you have companies that are supporting Russian oil in your stock portfolio. You probably don't even know if they're there. I know for a fact I don't have any in my stock portfolio because I don't have a stock portfolio. And all of my rental properties are in the United States of America. So, okay, let's get back to what Jay said. He said since January 2020, both incomes among new lease signers. These are people that are looking for a place to live. Okay, they've left wherever they're at. They're looking for a new place to live, and they found it. So we're talking about those kind of people. So incomes among new lease signers and the asking rents. That's what I'm asking for my unit. Okay, so when this person comes along and they agree to that rent price, okay, now we're going to have a thing called a lease, a business agreement, where we're both going to sign and we're going to comply with the terms and conditions of that lease. But here's the thing. Both incomes among those new lease signers, okay, all those people looking to rent, and the asking rents, that's what I'm looking to charge, have increased 21.5%. That's what he says. His data, and he supports it, those numbers have gone up 21.5% since January of 2020. So throughout this entire pandemic, what Jay has discovered is that people are making more money. And they're able to afford a higher rent. See, we tend to think that when inflation hits, we tend to think that inflation only affects the expense side of the house, right? Right? Because that's where you and I feel it. You feel it at the pump. You feel it at the grocery store. We're seeing it every day. We turn on the news. That's all they want to talk about, right? Okay, that's the big thing they're talking about, the economy. All right. At the end of the day, people are making more money. So they're actually able to afford these increase in costs. All right. So everything's kind of balancing out. Now, here's the sad part. People were making more money and they should have been able to position themselves based on what they're trying to accomplish in their life in a better place, right? In a much better place. Maybe they move out of a type or a class C apartment community, and maybe they move into a class B apartment community. And maybe that's a result of the fact they're making more wages. But here's the problem. When the rents are going up commensurate with the wages, unfortunately, the economy prevents that resident from upgrading their living experience, if that's what they want to do. They can always downgrade their living experience. Anybody could do that, right? What it means for you as a real estate investor is that you don't have to worry about people not being in a position to afford the rents that you're asking for. Now, keep in mind, when you do your rent analysis, you're looking for comparable properties that pretty much line up with what you're offering. Okay. And you're looking for one solid rent comp. Yeah, just one. One will justify your rent price. So remember, I told you I had that house and I'm renting it for $1,325, right? Here's what I know about the market. I know in that subdivision where my property is at, first of all, there are four other properties in that subdivision that are owned by my fellow Lifestyles members. You heard me correctly. There are four other properties that are owned by my fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members. And that's huge. And why is that huge? Because I don't have to go to Zillow. I don't have to find some way to deter. I don't even have to bother my real estate agent and say, hey, Bonnie, will you do me a favor? Could you do some rent comps for me on my property? I don't have to bother her. All I have to do is pick up the phone and talk to my fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members and see what they're renting their properties for. It's pretty cool. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell me. And you're thinking, wait a minute, they're in competition with you. Why would they tell you information like that? Because they're not really in competition with me. They're not. See, those other four properties, they already have leases on them. Yeah, they're not going to throw somebody out. They can't. That's illegal. They can't do that. So I'm not competing with those four properties. But those four owners are providing me information about what they're achieving for rents. And because I know the size of their properties, I actually know what the properties look like. I've been to the properties, believe it or not. We share information. So it's real easy for me to determine $1,325 is my strike price. It's real easy. Now, you might have to go find another way to do that, and that's okay. But here's the point. Rents are going up, and people can afford the increase in rents. It's totally cool. Now, you might be thinking, well, you're just making a ton of money, aren't you? Well, actually, I'm affected too. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about those effects. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
You allowed 15,000 members into your sandbox.
Thank you.
And so that speaks volumes. So for that, and as a family.
So you know why I did that? Everybody always asks, why did you do this? Because I was an ugly kid. My parents used to have to put a pork chop around my neck so the dog would play with me. And so I always wanted to have friends, and I figured if I could make people rich, they might be my friend.
Join Dell and his successful friends. Start with a free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
All right, so we're talking about information provided by a gentleman by the name of Jay Parsons. Jay makes some really good points. He makes some excellent analysis about rents and the affordability of those rents. And that is very important for you to know, because it's good for you to have in the back of your mind the concept that when you put your rent cost out there, in other words, this is what it's going to take to rent this beautiful property, You don't have to worry about thinking, oh, am I overpriced? Are people going to try and come in and retrade me on the price? No, because you've done your rent analysis. I told you how I do my rent analysis, right? I just call the other four Lifestyles Unlimited members and go, hey, how's things going with the property? Mine's coming up for rent. What are you charging, by the way? And I get that information like really quick. I get it really quick, and it just gives me a great insight into what the market's doing. And because all real estate markets are local, and within those local markets, there are even sub-local markets. Yeah, like certain subdivisions command a certain amount of rent based on the type of assets that are in that subdivision. Same thing with multifamily. Yeah, multifamily commands different types of rents depending on the asset and the location of the asset. Yeah, that's just the way real estate works. All right, so once you've got your price, put it out there and let people know that your asset is available for rent. And here's the beautiful thing. You're going to get people that are willing to pay your price. And they're going to see value in your price. And here's why. Anybody looking to rent your property has looked at a lot of other property. They have. They've seen the good, the bad. They've seen the absolutely ugly. And I would tell you this. For anybody that can afford a $1,325 a month rent payment, for anybody that can afford that, they have looked at my property, which is beautiful. It shows well. It is well maintained. Everything in that property is functional. Everything works. As a matter of fact, everything in that property, I have made sure that it has a lifespan of at least 5 years, or I fix or replace it. Yeah. So what does this do for my residents? Well, they don't have to be bothered with me sending repair guys over there to fix stuff, because I didn't bother to, you know, make sure the property was fully functional before I leased it out. But trust me, they have looked at other properties where that situation occurs. They have walked into other properties that may look good, but all of a sudden maybe they tested a couple things out and things aren't working as effectively as they should. Or maybe there's no garage door opener in the garage. So my property showcases better than the other property. The other thing is this. There are slumlords out there. Yeah, slumlords out there. You know what a slumlord is? Well, they're the bane of my existence. And I don't like slumlords. I dislike slumlords because their business model is completely the opposite of mine. You know what a slumlord does? They go out and they just buy any kind of property and they just figure, yeah, if you're renting it for $1,325, I can rent mine for $1,325. Same neighborhoods, same square footage. And then the resident goes in and the place is dirty. It's filthy everywhere. And the first thing the resident thinks is, I'm going to have to spend 3 or 4 days cleaning this mess up before I can even move in here. So people won't rent that. They won't rent that. They'll come rent mine before they rent that. Now, unfortunately, in the current market that we're in right now, there's a shortage of housing. There is a shortage of housing. Now, the politicians, they all talk about a shortage of affordable housing. We have to be worried about affordable housing. Okay, I'm not worried about affordable housing. I'm not, because here's the thing. People will do something like doubling up. If they can't afford to rent a place to live for themselves, they'll go in with somebody else and they'll rent that place. It's called roommates. You ever had a roommate? I've had roommates. Sometimes they work out great. Sometimes they don't work out great. But if your economic situation requires you to have a roommate, well, there's your affordable housing. Here's my point. My housing technically is affordable. And what I am doing is I'm making it available to the masses. I am. I let anybody who's in the hunt come check it out. And they can make an application and I take them in the order received. And then I screen them intensely. I screen them intensely because I don't want people getting into my properties that do not meet my client profile. You heard me correctly. If they don't meet my client profile, they're out. So what would cause them to be out? Well, if they're felons, I don't rent to felons. I'm sorry. Slumlord, they'll rent to a felon. I won't do it. I'm sorry that person has that on their record, but I didn't do anything to create that situation for them. And I don't feel obligated to have to go into a business relationship with somebody that committed a felony. Okay, that's how I feel. If you've committed a felony, I'm not picking on you. I actually have a very good friend that spent 25 years in prison for committing a felony. And he's the sweetest man. He's the sweetest man now. Prison changed him. I won't rent to him. And it's not because he's a felon. He doesn't have the income necessary to qualify for my rents. He doesn't. Because he's a felon, he doesn't have the ability to get a great job that pays him well. Because there are people out there that would consider hiring him. They go, hey, you're a felon. I'm not going to hire you. That's why you don't want to be a felon in this country, right? Okay. So once I've screened them, and I found the right person, they're going to be absolutely happy. Because the other 9 people that applied, they either were told, sorry, you didn't meet the screening criteria, or sorry, I already found the right person. We just didn't get to you yet. Good luck. You know, here's the point. A shortage of housing. There is a shortage of housing in the markets where I own income-producing properties. What that does for me is that creates demand. Yeah, it's that supply and demand curve that bored the heck out of you in college. It's actually real. It actually works. Now, one of the reasons I have to drive my rents upward is because of inflation. I'm not blaming the fact that inflation is causing everything to go up, and I'm not using that as an excuse to raise my rent so that my profit margins go up. My concern is some of the fixed expenses, which technically aren't fixed expenses. They're actually kind of variable. What do they call this? Fixed variable expenses, if I remember right, my accounting stuff. I don't know. I probably just drove some CPA bananas because I said it wrong. What I'm talking about are my 2 major expenses in all of my assets. My 2 major expenses. The first one is called property taxes. Yeah, I pay a lot of money to governments for property taxes. my properties that are in Texas, well, they're affected annually. Annually, the assessor goes out and they make a determination as to what the value of that property is. They don't talk to me. They just make a determination based on what the market's doing. And then all of a sudden I get a tax bill and I go, this is not good. So, of course, in the state of Texas, I'm allowed to protest my taxes, and I do that because I need to push my taxes down. But here's the problem that's been going on. Because taxes are based on a percentage of value, once the tax assessor makes the assessment, it's a fixed expense for the year. But that fixed expense can be variable year over year. I'm going to give you one last final point that Jay Parsons is making, and it's a very solid point. He says that incomes and rents have always been very closely related. Yeah, when he does his statistical analysis and he looks back at everything in the past, his correlation says, yeah, those are correlated. Yeah, that's I know. My eighth grade English teacher, she's rolling over in her grave right now. I get it. Sorry, Miss McDougal. I my grammar is terrible. Anyway, as an operator, my expenses have been rising also. So I actually need my rents to go up because my costs associated with operating my properties are also rising. They are also rising. I talked about the property taxes in the last segment. Property taxes are something that can affect your bottom line. And what we've been seeing with all the increases in value, yeah, we're getting great equity growth, but along with that, we're also getting the tax assessors that are wanting their cut. And because most of the properties that I'm invested are in Texas, well, they tax you based on an assessor creating a value for your property. And then, well, basically, the people that you vote into office, well, they're the ones that decide on what percentages you're going to pay into which tax accounts based on where your property is located. Yeah, that's the way it works. So those costs have gone up also. Now, my insurance, ironically, my insurance has been fairly stable. It has been very, very stable. And I actually had a very good conversation with a very seasoned insurance broker yesterday. I was talking to them because it was time for Tina and I to sit down and do our insurance checkups. You know, so I needed to take a look at our auto insurance. I needed to take a look at our home insurance. I had to take a look at all of my investment property insurance and stuff like that. I needed to figure out whether I needed to adjust my umbrella. You know, so I basically spent the whole day yesterday talking with this insurance broker, and he fine-tuned my stuff. And then I had a question for him, and I said, what are you seeing, Michael? What are you seeing as far as trends with regards to the cost of insurance? Are you seeing that the insurance costs are going up as rapidly as we're seeing appreciation? And you know what he told me? He said, I'm not seeing it. He said, now the insurance costs are going up. It's just a function of the fact that insurance is a business product. It's a business. Insurance is a major business. It's a huge business. Remember, insurers are in business to make money, not just pay out money. Okay. So let's be very clear about that. And they offer a very important service to us as investors because they're willing to insure our assets against peril. And if our assets take on some peril, well, we've got that insurance there specifically to protect us, protect our income streams, and protect our asset. And sometimes we actually get a brand new asset out of it. That's the way it works. But the insurance costs have been rising. They have been rising. Now, ironically, when I bought my insurance, well, I bought it at the beginning of the insurance year. It's kind of like a lease, right? So you buy your insurance and then you pay it throughout the year. At least that's how mine is structured. Some people just pay it all up front. I don't do that because I want to get the income streams coming in and then I'll pay the associated expenses with the income streams that come in. This is how you operate your real estate. This is also how you put money into your pocket, which is different than what you're doing now. I know, Let's go back to Jay. Jay also says that in the multifamily space, you also have to consider the fact that utilities and payrolls are going up. And he's absolutely right. Those are your two next biggest expenses. Now, in my single family properties, I self-manage. I don't have any payroll that I need to be responsible for. Okay, I don't. The utility costs are also not my problem. They're not my problem. My lease says the resident will pay for all of their utilities. They have to sign up for it. If they want power, they got to sign up for it. They want water, they got to sign up for it. I don't provide any of that stuff. I don't. It's on them. But in the multifamily space, that's a little bit different. Because in the multifamily space, we have a management company, and that management company hires people, and those people require pay. And I have seen the pay go up for the people that work in the management company. And I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. So that is costing more money. It's just an expense of the business. Now, another expense is the utilities. It is. And depending on the multifamily asset, you're probably going to have what we call common areas. Common areas are areas like you have a clubhouse or you have a pool, right? These are common areas where your residents can come enjoy the features of the apartment community. Yeah, that's part of the reason they chose to live there. You provide these great features for them, and they're allowed to enjoy them. Well, while they're enjoying them, they're consuming utility costs. The water that goes in the pool, well, that costs money. When it evaporates and you have to put more in, that costs money. The electricity to run the pool pump as well as the lights in the clubhouse, well, that costs money too. Yeah, so you're going to have some overhead for common area utility costs. And those utility costs are also adjusting upward. But again, let me get back to the major point that Jay Parsons is making. He is saying that since 2020, and actually he's actually saying even farther back, but this assessment that he provided me is saying that even though in-place rent rolls have increased 11.8%, so in other words, in-place rent rolls have increased 11.8%, he is also saying that income among new lease signers and asking rents have increased 21.5% since January 2020. They're moving with each other. Imagine a stock chart. Okay, you know what a stock chart looks like. All right, so what I want you to imagine is I want you to imagine three lines on a stock chart. And one of those lines is going to be called in-place rent. That's what people are paying today because they already have a lease in place. Those rents remain pretty stable since January 2020, and they started rising in July. Well, let's call it June of 2021, like a year ago today. Okay, rent started going up. What we also see is another line that is running congruent with that line, and that is called renter household income. Now, it actually took a nosedive when the pandemic started because people were affected, but it came right back up effective July 20th, and it actually is outpacing the in-place rent, which indicates that people were making more money than they could actually afford a higher rent, but they're not paying a higher rent. Does that make sense? Okay, so that kind of stayed pretty stable until, well, June of 2021, and then it started taking off. It's actually outstripped what the in-place rents were doing, which means my residents that were in my properties were making more money, yet they were paying the same amount of rent. Okay, now the last thing that we need to talk about is the effective asking rent, because that effective asking rent was absolutely just right on top of the in-place rents. We didn't mess around with changing rents on people. In some cases, we may have actually reduced rent a little bit during the pandemic. But again, we get to this time period, we call it June of 2021, and what we see is the effective rents start increasing. Now, when do we think inflation hit this country? Some people would say the Russians did it. I don't think that's true. The inflationary period started about the same time when the effective asking rents and the renter household income started to move away, started to get away, in other words, increase over the in-place rents, which actually kind of benefits the resident, right? It kind of benefits the resident until the lease runs out. And then they may actually have to pay an increase in rent, or they can make a decision to go rent another place. It is completely their life. They get to choose what they do in their life. We can't tell them what to do, but we would love to retain them. We would love to retain them, especially if they're paying on time, they're taking care of the property. They'd let me know immediately if they have an issue. And that's important, guys. And here's why. Little problems can become very big problems in real estate very fast, and those costs can run up. That's why you have to educate your residents that this is a partnership. I'm providing you clean, functional workforce housing. I'm providing you the best thing that you can buy for your money. You're not going to have any increases in rents for the entire year that we get into this business agreement. 45 days prior to the end of the business agreement, in other words, the lease ending, I'm going to send you a written document that's going to say something to the effect of, appreciate your long-term partnership with me. Glad you're taking care of the unit. Glad we're providing you a great place to live. Costs have gone up a little bit. As a result, I'm going to have to raise your rent $40. Would you be willing to pay an increase in rent of $40? So the resident's going to make a decision. They're either in or they're out. It's as simple as that. At the end of the day, don't worry about what rents are doing, because rents are doing fine and renters can afford them.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.